I know you came here to say, if you afraid, then you come on with me. And I know what you came here to do. Knock, knock, so let me see you get loose. It's going down for real.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Another day for Cleveland Browns Daily. Another big announcement for the Cleveland Browns. Paul DePodesta has been named the Chief Strategy Officer for the Cleveland Browns, a move that has been met with certainly a lot of interest around the National Football League. Jason LaCanfora recently saying he loves what the Browns are doing. He's fascinated with it. If they're right, they'll be 2 to 3 years ahead of the rest of the NFL in finding inefficiencies everywhere, because that is what Paul DePodesta does. For those of you who are familiar with Moneyball, the movie, hopefully you read the book. Movie, Jonah Hill, that was Paul DePodesta, his character in that movie when he was with the Oakland A's. He has been recognized by Fortune magazine as a top 10 innovator under 40, a guy who graduated from Harvard where he played football and baseball. He's the only executive in the history of Major League Baseball. That is where his roots are. He started with the Indians, by the way, 20 years ago, and is excited to come back to Cleveland and help the Browns, but he's the only executive in baseball history who has won a division title with five different franchises. Paul DePodesta is here. He is the Chief Strategy Officer. He will work alongside Sashi Brown. And what he will do is basically ensure that this team, what I talked about yesterday a lot, strategy, processes, that this team will use the process and strategies, the best practices that apply across sports and across businesses to find inefficiencies that exist in the marketplace in the National Football League and try to gain a competitive advantage. So he'll do that working with Sashi, but he will also do that here, maximizing, as you know, as a former player, now they have all the kind of the science between your body chemistry, maximizing the most out of every single player and high performance, the analytics department, the player development, all the best practices. That is what Paul DePodesta is a quote-unquote genius at. And Matt, going back to my McKinsey background, I am so excited about what the Browns are doing. They still have to hire a head coach who buys into this system, and yep. I think there will be some challenges with that. And they will still, for everybody who was wondering, they still are going, this is not the top talent evaluator. This is another guy along the lines with Sashi that will ensure that what the Browns do are best practices from a strategy, a process, and alignment standpoint. And I think that's very exciting.
Right. So the question that I have, because I don't know a lot about him, and I haven't read the book, but of course watched the movie as probably many of our fans have, and I heard you say it, is he, and this is my question for you, as you understand his role. You mentioned he will figure out the inefficiencies in our system, i.e. the kinks in our hose, which is, you know, dumbing everything down. So he will identify those. Will he also be a part of fixing those or developing new ways, or will that be left to Sashi Brown, the potential head coach, and the talent evaluator once their three-man system is created?
So what I believe the role of Paul DePodesta, and this is a guy, you go look up his resume, very impressive, and I know everybody say, well, it's not football, but it's understanding what I will call a marketplace, identifying inefficiencies in it, and finding ways to get competitive advantages.
So this isn't processes. Working. Let's do this instead. And he bounces those ideas based on, I'm sure, again, numbers, past history, against what we're currently doing and why we should essentially do it or revolutionize it and do it a little bit different the way that he has found.
Yes, it is. This is not going ahead and eliminating traditional football scouting methodologies. This will be married with that. And what it will do is so that the Browns within those take the information from those traditional methodologies, put them up against analytics. There are going to be times where analytics and traditional scouting marry, like with Teddy Bridgewater. But we didn't make that decision. With Sashi Brown and Paul DePodesta here, we will make that decision. And that will be a good thing.
And you now have a man, in Sashi Brown with the control, able to make the decisions and pull the trigger, when in the past he was a voice at the table, unable to influence those that made the decisions not to select a guy who football and analytics matched up in Teddy Bridgewater's case, correct?
Of course. And that's why you have this. We will have it, as I said, the process, the overall strategic framework with which we will operate in will be guided by Paul DePodesta and Sashi Brown, two guys who are incredibly intelligent.
Both Harvard guys.
Both Harvard guys, very smart. Paul DePodesta has been the best in baseball at identifying those inefficiencies and allowing his team to gain a competitive advantage. And this isn't just in the acquisition of talent. This isn't just in how you use your cap space. This isn't just in how you maneuver on the draft board, what positions you prioritize. It's also once you get the guys in the building to go ahead and maximize what you get in return from them. The synergy and alignment across the organization. This takes me right back to the first job I had that taught me more about the world and the way business works and showed me why people can be successful from going from one company. When you're a great CEO or a great leader or you're somebody who understands how to dominate in one particular marketplace, why you can go to another company in a different field altogether, apply your best practices, and still win. That was the whole ethos of McKinsey and why Fortune and Global 100 companies go ahead and paid McKinsey a ton of money to tell them how to fix their companies.
Sure.
This is as McKinsey a model as an approach to the National Football League as you will ever see. And it's a synergy of like-minded individuals from Sashi, from the team president Alex Shiner, and Paul DePodesta that I think are going to be very, very good for the strategy
sure.
of this organization.
Sure. And I guess, you know, as a football guy, you know, rationalizing and trying to, you know, dummy it down since I'm just a football player, what it feels like to me in some cases is, it takes the name off the back of the jersey. It takes the number off the jersey. But then it takes the intangibles, height, weight, speed, where you draft them, the value that they have, how much you pay a free agent, what's the market standing for a free agent like this in that year, how much fuel does he left have in the tank, and basically what you do is you throw that all, you know, on the table between these individuals. And they crunch numbers almost like a tax return, and it spits out, you know, where to draft a guy like this. You know, how much money to spend on this. How much time and effort should we be putting into these things? Because the result, as we've seen, you know, in the marketplace, which is 31 other franchises, it's working in these places, and it's struggling here, right? I mean, it kind of, to me, and I know, I mean, from a consulting, it's a spreadsheet. You get everything in a spreadsheet. You erase some. You take the names off the left column, and you evaluate what's on that spreadsheet, and ultimately you get a result and a direction.
I believe that it will be that.
And I don't mean to make it numbers-wise.
Because it's not. It's that married with traditional NFL scouting.
Right.
At least on the personnel side.
Right.
And Paul DePodesta isn't here. Now, he built Major League Baseball scouting departments, and it was good at identifying. See, this is what. Somebody like a Paul DePodesta, okay, can identify certain traits in players that lead to success in the National Football League over time. And the Browns are going to have, I believe, a competitive advantage in identifying what those things are that they can marry with traditional NFL scouting. So that is kind of the way that I look at it.
It's the, in my case, it's.
Because you just like I'm you would
to,
say, you can.
It's the same way that the top talent evaluator, in some cases, has to have a good eye to be able to spot talent. DePodesta does that in a different realm, right? I mean, he has. I'm just trying to understand it because you know I want to clarify to Browns fans the value that we're getting in the hires because to some people it's names with big resumes, you know,
sure.
And you want to find out how is it relevant A to the Cleveland Browns, but then even more so take it a step further, how is it relevant to the potential members that make up the 53 or 85-man roster as we set into football seasons, potentially winning football games, which is really why we do what we do.
It is, and it's going to be, this is, what the Browns are doing in some ways, it's being called revolutionary, but I think what they're trying to do is make sure that every decision they make is the smartest going forward in terms of how they operate. Within that, you're still going to have traditional football things because, as you pointed out, there are things that numbers on a page cannot tell you about a football player.
Right.
What's inside of them, their heart, their makeup, their desire, their love of the
game. The
family
they came from.
Their desire to compete, etc. So, but when you can blend those and find the efficiencies, when people think of analytics, they only think of numbers. There could be certain traits in a player's personality that you gather from interviews that if you studied across time would identify certain things that actually turn out to be more important to success in the National Football League, and then you can slice that and break that down by certain positions. At this position, does it matter if you have a characteristic X in your personality. No, but at this position, it's critically important and an ultimate predictor of success. Somebody made
that push and pull.
Somebody made a good analogy that I think this is a good analogy right here. When he says, you can say Dee Podesta is kind of a hacker. He will hack the NFL to see what matters and what doesn't. And I think that is what he is going to try to do as a part of his job. As Bill Belichick has a book, it's information is power. The Browns are going to be one of the most informed, if not the most informed teams in the National Football League on these types of things that they will marry with the traditional meat and potatoes of the NFL. But as somebody who had an opportunity to understand how scouting departments work, and you know this, they are subjective. So this is trying to add an objective framework in addition to what is traditionally a subjective thing in scouting.
And I think, you know, again, understanding these moves and understanding what's going to happen next and hiring that talent evaluator after we hire the right head coach for all this is what's encouraging to me, and like I said, you know much better than I, is you have Sashi Brown who's not ego-driven, who's not resume stuffing, who's, you know, his life's work is to not be the guy that righted the Cleveland Browns wrong. It's not that. It's not those things. It's doing what's right, finding out what's best, and essentially living up to everything that Jimmy Haslam is trusting him with right now. And I think it falls in line, and to me, the one thing, and why the collaboration word that Jimmy Haslam used multiple times in his press conference, I reiterated on Monday, is so huge, and why finding a head coach that is not ego-driven and sees the value in why in this process.
It has to.
Because if he can't collaborate, the people will stay and he will go.
That's right. And because you need, part of it is, part of the issue with this organization in the past was alignment. I want to say this to everybody when you're saying, well, this is all you're focused on. At the end of the day, regardless of how smart the Browns are in their processes, it will give them more swings at the plate. I truly believe that. We will have a team that has a good opportunity. At the end of the day, though, it has got you still have to draft effectively. And that's where these processes hopefully will allow the Browns to maybe get us an advantage in the draft in terms of both their traditional scouting and also utilizing the analytics. That's what it is. They still are going to have to draft well if this is going to work. And this is going to be...
And they will draft different. And how they come to terms on who they draft will be different.
And why, and where,
exactly. And what they look for in potential future Cleveland Browns is going to be totally different than it's ever been.
And it's just one... It is going to be a system where you will look at, in a few years, you will look at what the Browns did differently. This is not going away from traditional football scouting, understanding that a coach has to be a tremendous leader of men, that you have to have the kind of teamwork on a football field and the motivation. You know this. You guys, everybody's got to be unified by a common purpose on the field. And that is why I think it is so important to have a head coach here who is a great motivator and leader of men and a guy who can unify this team and be demanding of the players on this football team.
Yeah, I do. Because there's no other ulterior motives attached to his title. A head coach is coaching football, motivating men, and like you said, leading men towards winning football games. And if you can trust as a head coach and as a player on this team that you've been given every opportunity to go do what you do, which is control football, there's nothing to look back on. Because you could ultimately look at Mike Pettine and maybe some of the decisions were his, but, oh, look at the receivers that a Mike Pettine coach team had been given. You know, look at the quarterbacks that Mike Pettine was given in his time.
Well,
you know,
I'm pretty sure, by the way, for people out there, one reason to get excited about this, with Paul Dee Podesta here and Sashi, the Browns are going to have a 100%, I believe, complete understanding of what types of receivers actually work in the National Football League, and I think you'll see that reflected on the field. And I'm pretty sure it's going to be what we all believe are the right types of wide receivers. But there are opportunities to go through and really go through data. When you think of analytics, think about the opportunity to go back and study every receiver who's come into the NFL and has had success so they have an opportunity to find out what's going on. So let's go ahead. And we're going, we want a phone call real quick. Is that what you're saying? Who do you want to go to?
Harvey and Kelly's Island.
Harvey and Kelly's
Lucky
Island.
Lucky man.
Yeah.
It's windy over there, bro.
Yeah, gentlemen. Hey, gentlemen, good to talk to you today from
you too.
Kelly's Island. We just got back from Florida. So, hey, this is a great move. My 28 years in the Navy, strategic thinking and analytical thought leads to great results, but
yep.
You got to motivate your sailors. You motivate your men to make them believe they're part of the team that creates ownership. They want to be owners in what they're doing. That's the motivational factor that I work for Applebee's and Bob Evans and several other corporations to motivate the players in the game to believe they are owners in what they're doing. That brings out the quality in a man and the Navy and the Army, whatever they're in. You make people feel they are the franchise. Paul, picking him up, making him the strategic thinker, the analytical thought that he's going to bring to this franchise might be what saves Cleveland football, because I've been a Cleveland fan for 50 years since I was a child, and we're getting tired of what's going on up in Cleveland, all around the world. I'd mentioned I love the Cleveland Browns. They'd say, oh, mistake on the lake,
yep.
South Africa. I'd hear people in South Africa refer to it that way. Well, it's time to correct things and get every player to believe they are part owner of what they're doing, not just a contract. You don't make people think you're just working for your paycheck. You make them feel they own what they're doing.
And, Harvey, thank you very much for the call, Harvey. We appreciate it. And you know what, as we got to get a break here before we go to Pete Prisco, is you know what it says, everything that he just said is – to me, it brings accountability. So if you actually make this 53-man roster, you've been filtered through a tedious process by from Jimmy Haslam on down to your position coach to be honored with a job here playing for the Cleveland Browns. And it's filled with accountability because everyone now, after 3-13 and this new regime change, it's accountability, accountability, accountability to doing things right. So that if you can, you are one of 53. You actually cannot take your position for granted, and you were chosen to be a part of something which we hope to be very special in the next 3 to 5 years here in Cleveland once this process really starts to take shape.
Yes, and I do believe this is going to be a process that takes some time, because when you go through this and you have the opportunity to do what the Browns did, I think it's going to take – there is going to be – it's going to be a process to get the guys in that fit
sure.
what you want, not from a system standpoint or a scheme standpoint, but from what we're going to call it with the model of what a Cleveland Browns football player is going to look like, given all the information we're going to have from traditional scouting and, of course, from this new strategic process that's going to be applied to everything that the Browns do with Paul DePodesta on board alongside Sashi Brown. When we come back, we're going to talk to Pete Prisco, NFL analyst for CBS. He is going to talk to us. He's in Jacksonville, so he knows Sashi Brown from his time down there. He'll talk to us about Sashi and obviously what he thinks about the Cleveland football Browns and their moves this offseason. That's coming up when we return here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Let's go to the Ohio Business Machine Hotline right now and bring in CBS Sports NFL analyst Pete Prisco. Pete, welcome to the show.
What's up, guys?
Not too much, Pete. Obviously, we were going to talk Sashi Brown, and we will, but obviously the bigger news with the Browns today, Paul DePodesta hired as the chief strategy officer. What do you think about that move for the Browns?
Why don't they just go hire people from Apple and Microsoft and stuff that don't have any football background? You know, look, here's a couple ways to look at it. I've talked to a couple people in the league in recent days about the Browns situation, and I sent out a tweet the other day saying, everybody's killing the Browns' job and this and that. Look, it's one of 32, and they got a passionate fan base. And so, you know, everybody says, well, why would anybody take the Browns' job? Because it's one of 32, and they have a passionate fan base. And, yeah, the owner's probably a little bit too impatient, and he's going to, you know, fire guys quickly. Hey, worst case scenario, you get fired after 2 years, you get paid for five. I mean, if that's the worst thing in your life, then you've had a damn good life. So, to me, let's slow down the roll on killing the Browns franchise. And
you,
turn it over and start looking at the Browns and say, okay, if somebody hires the right people, you can turn it around. It's not impossible. The problem is they haven't hired the right people. And the right people means the people that can draft and do a good job of developing players. Look at their draft. And that's the reason they have their problem. So, first and foremost, they need to get a good football guy in there. And right now, they don't have one.
No, and that is in the plans as it was laid out. They will hire the top talent evaluator, run the scouting department, and really be the one who sets basically the draft board that goes through the filter for Sashi Brown to make the final decisions here.
Yeah, but who's going to make the final decision? Is it Sashi Brown?
Sashi.
Yeah, see, now, I can look at this two ways, and I've talked to a lot of guys who've come up through the ranks and are kind of wide-eyed a little bit about Sashi Brown having the football power. The other side of it is, it's just football. I mean, it isn't that complicated. If you can do it, you can do it. But Sashi Brown's never been out in the field scouting. He's never been a guy that's, you know, sat in the projection room and made the decision. That to me, it's a big challenge for him to be able to do that. Personally, if I were the Browns, I would hire Terry McDonough. Terry McDonough is the assistant player personnel director for the Arizona Cardinals. He's worked closely with Steve Keim. He's been a scout for years and years and years, been around football his entire life. His dad's Will McDonough, and the guy's a grinder. You know, he understands what it takes to find good football players. But they didn't. They went with a guy who's never done it before, and to me, that's a little bit of a challenge, and I like Sashi. I really do. I think he's smart. I think he's bright. I think he'll bring a bunch of good things to that front office, but he's never been a grinder doing it out in the field.
Pete, that all being said, after that hot take there on the Cleveland Browns hire in the past 2 days, do you think it limits the individuals who would actually come here and work under that umbrella as a head football coach, as one of the main football minds on the field?
Yes, it will. And you know, look, if you're going to be the guy making the personnel decisions, you're brought in to be the guy to stack the board, do this. And then you come up and you got number one, and Sashi Brown comes in and says, "No, I got this guy at number seven who should be number one." And then you're useless. All you are is doing all the work for Sashi Brown. And so to me, that's the concern there, and that's the concern about a lot of guys I've talked to around the league. You know, personnel people, and same with the coach. I mean, who's the coach answering to? He's going to answer to Haslam, right?
Yes.
But he's not going to answer to Sashi Brown. But Sashi Brown and the general personnel guy are going to answer. You know, they're setting it up so there's a clear delineation in the room already. I mean, you saw that play out in Indianapolis, and God knows what happened last night to fix that thing. But when there's a divide between the two sides, that's always going to be a problem. So they're kind of going into it, setting it up as it's going to be a problem down the road.
The one good bit of news on that front is that Sashi will be involved in the coaching search, so that at least in this case, the person who's making the football decisions will be involved and pick, in theory, his head coach, as opposed to last time when it didn't happen that way, and we saw what happened with Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Nathan. Sashi's going to be picking the coach, and somebody brought this up to me last night. Is he going to pick somebody that's going to be a strong personality, or is he going to pick somebody that's going to be able to, you know, that he's going to be able to put his thumb on and run? I mean, that's the concern there. You're going to have a problem getting a strong personality. He's going to fight back and fight back. I mean, I just don't think you're going to get that guy.
I think what they're going to get, and I think when somebody gets in a room with Sashi, they're going to understand the kind of guy he is and exactly how he wants to operate. But I think that they are going to find someone who is aligned with their way of thinking, which obviously they have gone out with the Paul DePodesta hire and said, this is how we're going to do things from a strategic and process standpoint with the Cleveland Browns. So I think it's going to be somebody that's in line with that way of thinking. And I think that they're going to work collaboratively. And to your point about if somebody says, I have this guy number one on my board, and Sashi says, well, I have this guy number seven, I don't think it's working that way. The top talent evaluator is basically going to run the scouting department and be in charge of all of the personnel evaluations. Sashi's job, I think, as a process person to have the final decision, is going to say, well, we value, you know, in this draft, we value this position here. What do you have there? Do you know what I mean? As opposed to Sashi saying, I have Sashi making up his own draft board as someone who had never been a scout before. He may have opinions on players, but I don't think that's the way that it's set up. The top talent evaluator is going to be, per Jimmy Haslam, the one who is setting those types of things, and then Sashi will utilize that tool collaboratively.
Who's going to have control of the 53-man roster?
Sashi has control. As the executive vice president of football operations, Sashi has control of the 53.
So the coach won't have control of the 53 then?
That's correct. He'll have control of the game day 46.
Okay. All right. See, I don't know. I just think they're setting it up for a great divide in the middle. Couple things. Look, it is just football. I mean, that's all it is. It's football. So, yeah, you can – I mean, I've never been a GM. You stuck me in that job, I could evaluate the players. I'll be honest.
Right.
It's not that hard. You could do it, Nathan. It's not that hard. Matt can do it too. But
– thank you.
You know, when you look at what – The way they're dividing the building, I think that's a problem. It's going to be a problem. There's going to be egos and infighting and everything else. And And Sashi's a smart, smart guy. I like Sashi. I do. And I think Sashi has a good role in there. And I think he can help lead that thing and find the right guy. The problem is, I think you're already setting it up that there's going to be a big divide in the middle of that building.
I think, and that's why I think to your point about that, I think it is going to be absolutely imperative. And I think that you may see some names on the coaching search that maybe, you know, Jason Lockefort is just tweeting out. You want to see people that they've never even heard of on there. But I think it's going to be key that the coach you get is going to be aligned with your overall philosophy and process. I think you can't have it the other way, because if you have for example, and it does potentially limit the pool, but you can't bring in some old school football coach that thinks it's only about football, analytics are stupid, numbers are stupid, we're doing it this way, this is the only way to do it. That just wouldn't happen, and I don't think it would ever get to that point.
Yeah, see, I have a real danger with that. I'm Anthony anti-analytics, if you want to call me that. It's not that I know there's a place for numbers and that, but you can spin numbers any way you want. The bottom line is you got to be able to sit on the tape and find the guy on the tape.
Of course.
And then go into his building and find out if he's a jerk or not a jerk, if he does the work or doesn't do the work. All that other stuff is just supplementary stuff. And, yeah, you can twist numbers all you want. I mean, everybody sends out all these numbers on quarterbacks. Look how great he is in the pocket. Russell Wilson being one of them. Look, if I go back and throw a quick screen outside to the wide receiver and he runs for 28 yards, that's a hell of a number from the pocket. But anybody can make that throw. So you can twist those numbers any way you want. So you got to be real careful with the analytics.
And, Pete, one other question that, you know, more and more that as days go by since the end of the football season, it's not so much of a significant divide, is on Johnny Manziel. Just your overall perspective on anything people are saying about what happened, how Cleveland should move forward, and obviously it's something that's going to be a priority for Sashi Brown and the potential head football coach here with the future of Johnny Manziel as a Cleveland Brown.
Nathan knows I've been one of those people that said, play
the kid.
Yeah, play the kid. Find out who he is. If he stinks, then you get rid of him. I mean, I think that's the bottom line in the National Football League nowadays. And you know, I've always been a guy that says, hey, guys come into the league, and we've all been young and dumb, and people do young and dumb things, and then you mature. Well, he's had many chances. He's been given many chances, and he hasn't changed. And the latest thing to me is the end of it. If I'm the Cleveland Browns, goodbye Johnny Manziel. And I've been a supporter of Johnny Manziel when it comes to changing and growing. I've always said, look, I thought the last one when he was, the last couple when he was having a drink at home or whatever, give me a break. That's not that big a deal. If you cut, guys that had drinks on their bye week, you cut a bunch of people. In fact, you'd have a hard time fielding your team. That's not the issue. The issue is what he did recently. Come on, you got to be there for concussion protocol. You don't show up. That means you don't care about your job. There's a lot of players in the National Football League that go home and drink and have a good time and go out on the weekends and live it up, but then they care about their job. Johnny Manziel showed the other day that he doesn't care about his job.
Yeah, I think that certainly will be a decision that is going to have to be made sooner rather than later as it relates to Johnny Manziel, what they decide to do with him, because as you say, it is certainly, it seems that he has pushed the envelope maybe one too far, one too many times. The tough part is, do you think, let me ask you this, in light of this, if you're the Browns, do you hold on to him just to see if you can get anything from Jerry Jones?
You want a rack of ribs from one of the barbecue places in Texas? Because that's about what you'll get.
I do like ribs.
Yeah, well, then you can then hold on to them because you might get a rack of ribs for them. No, get rid of them. I mean, show the NFL community, show the Browns fans, and show everybody else, look, this is a different time. I'm not going to tolerate this crap. Get rid of them.
Sure.
Just do it. The other thing about, I mentioned Sasha Brown. Hey, the Browns did it the other way, where they had the supposed football guys come in the last couple of years.
Of course.
And they were terrible drafting. I mean, you can go through, you guys know, it's a scroll of crap when you throw out their drafting the last couple of years.
And that's one of the points I was making when people are, well, how can you have Sasha? He's not a football. All we've had are football guys and football people, and we have the worst draft track record in the National Football League, I would say, and that's why you're in the situation that you're in. And I think to go ahead and go with someone with a good level of intelligence, and now to bring in Paul Di Podesta to try to identify any inefficiencies that you can use to your advantage, I think is a good thing. It's not like there isn't going to be a traditional football guy here, and everybody, as you know, has scouting departments. And as you said yourself, you probably could go ahead and be a GM even though you aren't quote-unquote a football guy, Pete.
Yeah, it's not that complicated, but you just got to – my concern isn't as much as you get a good football guy in there and work with him. Don't overrule him.
Of course.
Let him do his job.
Yes.
And don't have a divide between the coach and the front office, because that's always going to be a problem. When it gets to that point, you're done. It's finished. It's over.
That you are exactly right about. And in the goal of this, from everybody I've talked to, obviously inside this building from the very top on down, the goal of what they are trying to do is set up a situation where they don't have what many people perceive they had in the last regime, which was that infighting between coach and personnel. And you know that's natural. There's natural tension there in any NFL organization, which is magnified when you're losing. But the goal of this is to have it be consistent alignment with the process and overall vision for the organization. So, in theory, whatever coach is hired should be there.
You don't want yes men, though.
No.
You don't want yes men, Nate. That's not what you want. You don't want somebody who's going to sit there and just yes, 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 yes. You want input from scouts who say, look, if they challenge you, you listen to them. If they give input, you listen to them. If they don't agree with you, you go back and watch the tape three more times and find out why they think differently than you.
Yes.
Don't push back on them. There's too many times in this league where they allow that to happen, and it's a bad situation.
And that, I would say, you are 100% correct about. And I think that happens way, way, way more than people actually realize in the National Football League.
Yeah, I know guys that got fired for that. Scouts who pushed back on a GM got fired for it.
Which is ridiculous. At the point,
yep.
Right, your job is to, there shouldn't be, as I was told at McKinsey when I was right there, no hierarchy of thought. You know, go out there and debate it and get to the right answer. It doesn't matter how you get there, get to the right answer. And I think that's what certainly the goal is here for
find
the Cleveland
Browns.
Find
the damn quarterback. It'll solve everything. Find him.
That's right. Who do you like? Speaking of quarterbacks, have you decided who you, if you were the Browns at number two?
I mean, other than watching the TV games and stuff, I haven't really started doing the work. I mean, I watch all those guys, but, none of them wow me. I'll be honest with you. Goff's the best one
right now.
Yeah, he's the best one right now. But I'm intrigued about the kid at North Dakota State. I want to see more about him. I want to see
Wentz.
More tape on him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Wentz. You know, Lynch to me is, big, strong-arm kid, but he played the Auburn game. He looked terrible against really good competition. That's
he makes me nervous. He has measurables, but when you put on the tape with him, he shows a lot of he's more Colin Kaepernick than I'd like to see, and I mean that in the bad sense of Colin Kaepernick.
I don't like Connor Cook at all. I'll be
me
honest
neither.
With you. I don't think he's very good. Hackenberg's still intriguing to me because I think he's had terrible coaching and a terrible offensive line the last couple of years.
Yeah, and one of Hackenberg's receivers was arguably my favorite receiver in that draft, who now plays for your Jacksonville Jaguars and led the league with 14 touchdowns and in pass plays of over 20 yards, Mr. Allen Robinson.
Yeah, he's active, but they got a quarterback too, Jacksonville. They've solved that issue. That's the difference between the Browns and Jaguars and Titans and Texans and Bucks. I mean, not the Texans, but these Raiders. They all have a quarterback solved. So now
right.
They can move forward with the rest of this stuff. When you don't have your quarterback solved, you got problems. You're going to play the McCowns of the world the rest of your life.
And I like what they did in not only getting it, but let's talk Oakland, we'll talk Tennessee, we'll talk Tampa, and we'll talk Jacksonville. They got them weapons. You've got Allen Hurns, Allen Robinson. You brought in Julius Thomas. You drafted T.J. Yeldon. They drafted Marquise Lee. In Oakland, you brought in Crabtree and drafted Amari Cooper, drafted Clive Walford. You got Latavius Murray. In Tennessee, you drafted Dorial Green-Beckham this year. You got Kendall Wright, Delanie Walker. At tight end, they've tried to address the running back position multiple times in the draft, and maybe Cobb will end up being good there. In Tampa Bay, you got Austin Seferin Jenkins along with Mike Evans and Vincent Jackson. They've got the running backs and Sims and Doug Martin. They gave their young quarterback talent. The one thing I will say for Johnny, and I believe off the field, I'm done with the headache. I'm over it. He didn't ever get to play with that kind of talent around him.
No, he did not. No, definitely did not. By the way, here's a question: the Houston Texans won the division in the AFC South. Would you rather be the Houston Texans winning the division this year with your quarterback uncertainty, or would you rather be the Jaguars, the Titans, and the Colts with their quarterbacks of the future on their roster?
That's an absolute no-brainer. I'd rather be any team other than the Houston Texans.
Of course. Of course. It's a quarterback league. It always will be.
Yep. Yes, that is right. Pete, appreciate the time, and always good talking to you. Hope all is well, and Happy New Year.
Yeah, congrats to Sashi, too. He's a good man. It's just that's a big, big job for somebody who's never done it.
It is, and I think he's got the acumen, and time will tell if he can do it.
You got it. All right, guys.
All right.
Take care.
Thank you, Pete Prisco from CBS. All right, when we come back, we will open up the phone lines to you. I'm sure you guys have lots of thoughts here on what the Cleveland Browns are doing. 216-578-0850, Zagura and Wilhelm. CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. 216-578-0850. Time to get your reaction to what's going on here in the Browns organization. Let's go to Rick in San Diego. Rick, welcome to the show.
Hey, fellas, Happy New Year. Just want to say I've never been so disenchanted as a Browns fan as I am now. Just when you think things can't get any worse, they do. But on a positive note, I use analytics in my business, and I tell the people that work for me, the numbers are only valuable if the data is correct, and you actually follow the advice that the data offers.
Yep.
And 2 years ago, Haslam paid $100,000.
Yep.
For advice to draft Bridgewater.
Yep.
And he went against the advice. You know, what makes me think this guy's going to follow any advice now is unbelievable. And
okay, so let me just clarify that for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Everything you were saying was right, but Jimmy Haslam didn't go against the advice of the analytics study.
Somebody in the organization did.
Ray Farmer, who was the general manager, that was his selection.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, With Sashi and certainly with Paul DePodesta in place, that study won't be the only piece of the equation. But if that study that says Teddy Bridgewater that strongly and that marries with the scouts, that will be a no-brainer pick. Now, it'll be an interesting discussion if the scouts say one thing and the analytics say another. That'll be an interesting discussion. We'll find out how that would ultimately play out for the Cleveland Browns. But under this regime, that situation that you described – would not happen.
Right, especially now that you have the minds that you have, you know, leading this charge.
Yes.
You know, and I think that's why you did this first, and then you go get the football people that can lead whoever you draft.
Agreed. Let's go to Stan.
Don't think you're taking this too far.
There it is. The music. I didn't know where we were going at first with that. It was a little bit extended version. Let's go to Stan in Brooklyn. What's up, Stan?
Gentlemen, hello.
Hello.
Hello, Stan.
Hello. Hello, I'm right here.
Stan, we hear you, man, loud and clear.
Oh, okay. You know,
We got you, brother.
You know, this deal with Manziel, are we going to part ways with him sooner or later? You know, I just, it's persisted too long. And I hope that the head coach that we find quick. I don't want the process to take forever. Thank you very much.
Stan, quick to the point. Once he was heard, once he knew he was heard, Stan the man. I think something, the coaching search, I know that it is underway, and we will see what ultimately ends up happening with that. Scott in Cleveland, welcome to the show.
Cool. Tough to follow the geriatric bringing the M&M drop. I don't know how to follow that. I think this is an awesome day for the Browns. I think these are hallmark days for the franchise. I definitely think one of the things that the guest said before, this absolutely impacts who we can choose as a coach. I think the name that, and I don't know anything really about him. I mean, I know who he is. But you're a guy like Matt Patricia, who's a aeronautical or aerospace guy and analytics and things like that from the Patriot way. He may understand that. But for the folks who are going to call in and kind of poo-poo these days, like, you know, I forget who your guest was, but he basically said this football, you know, this is just football. That's like, that would be the equivalent of saying this is just war or this is just investing or this is just medicine. Like, to not take advantage of the data or the data scientists that are going to chop this data up and come up with ways to use it, I think it is, you know, looking backwards down the evolutionary chain, not forwards. I think these are great days for the Browns. Thanks, guys.
I agree. Thank you very much,
and
Scott.
I think that what the Cleveland Browns have clearly identified is that the analytics, the numbers, and how you evaluate the process or create your process, as you said, is revolutionary, and that might be why there is some of the pushback. And listening as I was driving into the really big show, you know, Riz made a great point about, and you have as well, Mike Holmgren, the epitome of a football guy,
yes,
who we paid a significant amount of money to, came in here and couldn't get it right, and in actuality set us back years on becoming a winning franchise. So, and I'm not selling this, but I'm just saying it's been tried other ways. So for you to come back and push back with negative, 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 like I said yesterday, what name out there are you just so head over heels about that that Jimmy Haslam could have hired that would have you feeling all tingly that things are going to change oh so quickly?
Nothing.
There's not.
Nothing. It's going to take time. Here we go. 216-578-0850. We'll be back with more Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, right after this. Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm here with you in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Let's go back to the phone lines now. Scott in Cleveland.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, man.
Hey, it seems to me like Mr. Haslam's just, he's going this way because he doesn't know any other way to go. He essentially has a $1 billion fantasy football team. Now he's going to be crunching numbers, computers, and this and that. Who told him to go this way? Like, who gave him the advice on this way to go? And one more other question. How many other teams in the league actually are ran this way?
I think that there are a lot of teams in the National Football League that are certainly incorporating analytics into what they do. I think that the Cleveland Browns are going to be a team that incorporates it into traditional scouting methodologies. I think that I'm sure this advice came from talking to many people. Now, remember, the reports are out there that he had talked to Ron Wolf, he had talked to Bill Parcells about all of these things before he announced his new structure. And there's somebody in this building who had worked with Bill Parcells. Alex Shiner had worked with him down in Dallas. So I think it's basically looking at, and this is what I said yesterday, just remember, given Sashi Brown's role, he was in as an advisor on all football decisions that were made. He was the contract guy. He had to work everything out. He was the chief negotiator for this team. So he was involved in all
those
things.
He had to make sure it all made sense numbers-wise.
Numbers-wise, and
also,
I think with some type of a football slant to it as well, given his experience in the National Football League for over a decade. When Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer were fired, the person who gave advice on all those decisions but wasn't a decision-maker was empowered to now be that decision-maker. If you read between the lines, I think it's pretty obvious to see that his advice was not listened to and in many cases backfired.
And I think the one thing that we've yet to find out because of an additional press conference since the Sashi Brown promotion is I would imagine this has been weeks, if not months, in the making. Conversations between Jimmy Haslam and Sashi Brown.
Sure.
Conversations about mistakes that this franchise has made via head coach and general manager that if we had made a – not the right decision or the best decision or the I told you we should have decision, but a different decision, you know, or went a different direction.
Sure.
That it would not have been made that swiftly in favor of Sashi Brown to be that guy that was there that had ears. And as I said yesterday, he knows the direction we were going, and so he knows the wrongs, you know, and in some cases his analytics or his, you know, his direction would have been the better. It's not to say I told you so. It's where would this franchise have been had we made just a few different decisions?
Right. And I think that's ultimately what it comes down to, and I think that's what is they are trying to do is find out the way. That's what Paul DePodesta has hired. How do we make the smartest decisions? And maybe smartest is the wrong word. How do we make the correct decisions more often?
Consistently or more consistently.
More consistently.
You're going to miss.
Yes. All right, let's go to Reggie in Youngstown. Reggie, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, man.
Good, good, good. Hey, I just was calling just to say, you know, my mother always say, you know, it's a poor dog that won't wag his own tail, and I'm pretty well, you know, happy about everything that I've said from the very beginning because it's all really playing out just like I told you guys, man. In general, it was bad decisions. Yet, you know, bad management from the top on down, and it's just, you know, going just exactly the way that I said. I don't know if you guys really want to say or admit that I said this from the very, very beginning when they first got certain players and stuff like that. So, you know, I mean, I'm glad to see there is a God, you know, so maybe things will change around. I'm still not sure because I don't know who we're going to get. I still believe, fellas, that the problem the Browns is having now by being so bad so many years is that you can't really get the quality coaches that you would like to get because it's so difficult. And one thing, we can't get the players as well. And then the other thing is I like everything that's kind of going on right now, guys. But the biggest problem I see may happen, and you guys think about it and tell me what you think, is the fact that Mr. Hazlitt is doing the same thing, man, that he wants to have the final say on things, but yet he wants to have a different regime. And I just want to see what you guys think about it, fellas.
I don't believe that he does. I don't believe he has given the final say to Sashi Brown. That's what he's done here. He's said Sashi Brown has been empowered to make the final decisions on football
matters. And I think, and again, I don't know this to be fact by any means, but I think what Jimmy Haslam is doing is kind of what he's done in his Pilot Flying J business, right? Is it's been very successful. It's made him who he is. It's made him the money that allows him to buy an NFL franchise. And I'm sure while Jimmy Haslam has a say in what happens at Pilot Flying J, there are people making a significant amount of money in executive roles at Pilot Flying J that keep it afloat and keep it growing and making money ultimately for its owner and for themselves year after year after year after year. And I think by making this move, Jimmy Haslam has the people that he finally trusts as the right people and is sparing no expense by adding titles that didn't exist here even a week ago, right? To take his business without his say.
Correct.
You know, he's going to oversee everything as he still does at Pilot Flying J, right? He's going to oversee all this, but he has the people, the workers, to go out and figure it out and make it work and monetize it and become what these fans deserve, which is a winning franchise, which is, I'll even say it, not an embarrassing or a laughingstock franchise in the NFL, which it has become.
It's right. And the goal of this is to turn it around and to do things the right way. And I think that, you know, people are tweeting, well, the Browns had an analytics study already and let's do it. That's one reason why change has been made. Because now that will not happen. That's why Sashi has been empowered the way that he has been. And yes, apologies to people like the fact that Jim Haslett is a positive.